Okay, welcome everybody to the Saturday meditation class. If there's anybody who's here for the beginner's class is actually happening next door. So that's where the beginners are happening here. Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit about a meditation practice called by the Buddha. It was called Sila Nusati, which means essentially recollection of one's virtue or one's moral conduct. And the purpose of this type of meditation is basically just to brighten up the mind a bit, make the mind a bit lighter, a bit easier, a bit less heavy, so that it actually is ready to do meditation proper. But before I get into that, I want to talk about some more basic themes first of all. And the first thing I want to talk about is the importance of just knowing your own mind and knowing what you... Because when you know your own mind reasonably well, then you actually know what you need to do in your particular meditation practice. And there is two things that you have to know about your own mind. The first thing you have to know is like the general state of your own mind. Where is your mind usually at? Not when you are particularly excited or particularly depressed or particularly upset about something. But when you have, like, what is your even state of mind? And people have all kinds, depends all obviously on your conditioning from the past, your karma and all kinds of things, what your natural state of mind is. But your natural state of mind is what gives you a sense of direction for what sort of practice you should be doing. And of course, somebody who has a tendency for being a little bit easily irritated or easily negative, then of course metta-meditation is something which is very powerful. Or somebody who maybe already has a very natural bright mind and happy mind, they are somebody who can move on to watching the breath fairly easily. So this is the first thing to know about. You have to actually investigate your mind state. It can be very difficult to understand one's own mind. It can be hard because we're so used to it. Your mind state is something you're walking around all the time with, and it can be very difficult to recognize. So you have to use careful observation to understand essentially what your ordinary mind state is like. But there's another thing to do in observing your own mind, and that is observing the particular state you have on a particular day. Because even though that we may have a kind of natural tendency to be in a particular place, every day is a little bit different. Some days we may be upset, other days we may have some kind of desire for something, another day we may feel a bit more slothful and dull, another day you feel restless. And all of these are indications for what you should be doing on that particular day in your meditation practice. And if you are feeling upset and angry, for example, there's no point in trying to sit down and watch the breath or even doing a metta-meditation, because you have to make sure that you overcome that big upset before you actually sit down and practice meditation. Otherwise, you're going to be wasting your time. Because one of the things, of course, with most people in the world, that you have, there is only so much time available, basically, for meditation practice. Every day, maybe if somebody sits 15 or 20 minutes, sometimes we can't really maybe find room for much more than that. Some people maybe even half an hour. So it's important to use this time really wisely. So if you feel that there is some kind of irritation or negativity, there is better than to try to overcome that before you even start your meditation practice proper. Try to reflect on the futility of negativity, of irritation. Understand that it's not going to lead to anything positive. The world, as you see it around you, is the way it is. There isn't much you can do about this anyway. And certainly, negativity and irritation is never going to solve that problem. If you can solve it, fine. If you can't solve it, well, then let it be. There's no point in getting angry about it. And there's a number of reflections, obviously, that you can use in that sort of situation. All you have to do, really, is probably to reflect on some of the talks that you've heard here at the Dhammaloka Center. And straight away, you will have some skillful ways of dealing with this sort of mind state. Maybe you have some strong sort of desire for something, whatever that might be. Reflect on some of the Dhamma that you've heard here in this center. And you know the futility of desire. You know that if you get it satisfied, there's going to be another desire coming up shortly afterwards. And if you don't get it satisfied, well, then you're just going to move on in frustration for a long period of time. And just a little bit wise, skillful reflection like that can sometimes allay that particular desire or whatever it might be at that particular time. If you're feeling slothful, then you have to ask yourself, is it slothfulness because you are actually tired and you need a rest? Or is it slothfulness for some other reason? In which case you might find a counterbalance. If you are restless, again, try to find the cause of that restlessness. Is it rooted in some kind of desire? Or is it just that you've been running around so much that the whole mind is agitated? And all you really need to do is to sit back and relax in a meditation posture, and you feel calmer already. So all of these things are important things to do. But, of course, there comes a time when your mind is in equipoise, when it is nice, and you reach your natural state. There is no particular up and down. You are basically where you normally want to be. And when your mind is nice and balanced like that, well, then the next question is, well, what do you do then? What is the best way to proceed? And I say that instead of just necessarily sitting down straight away, watching the breath, or doing metta meditation or whatever, often it is better to do something which brightens up the mind first of all. What can you do to brighten up the mind straight away? And this is where this thing I talked about just very briefly in the beginning, called sila nusati, recollection of virtue or recollection of morality, can come into the picture. Because this recollection of one's own virtue and morality is something which can very, very easily bring a lot of happiness and joy to the mind, or at least brighten it up a little bit and lift it up a little bit. And that may be enough to actually increase your ability to watch the breath or to do metta meditation afterwards. And so how do you do this sila nusati, the recollection of virtue or morality? And essentially what the Buddha said is that when you do this meditation practice, what you remember is that you remember that by living a good life, by leading a moral life, you are taking away, you're helping other beings, freeing themselves from fear, freeing themselves for a sense of lack of trust, of being hurt or whatever, by you. So you're giving them the sense of trust in the world, of lack of fear, a sense of ease, because they feel that the world is a safer place, and certainly around you, at least, it is a safer place. And just that recollection, you may find that quite powerful, that you're giving other beings this beautiful sense of ease and peace in the world. And it's a kind of, you can look upon morality or virtue, if you like, as a kind of generosity. There is the material generosity of giving something to somebody. But this is like a higher plane of generosity. It's a generosity where what you're offering somebody is a kind of something mental, something psychological, a psychological state of fear, of lack of fear. And this, at the end of the day, is obviously a much more important, a much more profound state of happiness than a state of just having enough material support in the world. So offering a very profound sense of happiness here to other beings. And one way of looking at it might be that you can think of, if you think of somebody in your life who has been very important in your life, somebody like a mentor, for example, somebody who you have felt a lot of trust in, somebody who did something beautiful for you, somebody who felt that was something special for you. And I think most people have had that sort of people in their lives, somebody we felt we could go to when we had a problem, somebody who felt at ease at being around, somebody who was very, who was a good person for us. And people like that, in my experience, are people, you know, like an uncle or an aunt or a teacher or even a colleague at work, or just maybe somebody around the corner, some neighbor or something. They tend to be people who are virtuous, people who are good, people we feel that they have our compassion at heart. Even if they tell the truth to us, which might sometimes be hurtful, at least they have the sense of goodness about them. That's why we feel good about them. And then reflect that you, by keeping precepts, by doing what is good, by being a good person, being a kind person, you are essentially doing the same thing for other people. You're giving them a sense of ease, a sense of feeling trust in your presence, a feeling of that you have the benefit at heart. And how wonderful that is, to be able to give that gift to other people. How great it is. And reflect on that this is actually what you're doing for other people by keeping the five precepts, by living a good life, by being a kind person to others, you're giving them something very beautiful in return. And see if you can make that inspire you, make you feel good about doing this thing. Not so much about yourself, but good about your practice, about you doing the right thing. That you're adding something beneficial to the world, something beautiful to the world, which otherwise is very, very hard to find out there. If it wasn't for the fact that we had some people around who were like mentors in this positive sense, sometimes the world can seem very hostile and very negative. But these people are often what make the world feel like a better place. And it becomes much more easy for us because of these sort of people. And basically, this sort of recollection of virtue, recollection of one's morality, you can expand it to any area where you want. You can expand it, look at any area of life where you feel that your morality and virtue has made a difference. Think back upon situations. And, you know, as a monk, for example, living in the forest, I can think of the animals in the monastery and how they respond in a very beautiful way to kindness and generosity, how they become tamer, how they, the kangaroos, after a while, eat from your hand without any problems. How the birds will fly down and land next to you when you have something to give them. There's a sense that animals begin to trust you. And sometimes they trust you more when they see you in a brown robe with a shaven head. But some layperson comes by, they become more frightened. And that's an interesting thing, because they have seen you for such a long time, and they know that this particular person is somebody I can trust. And this is the same with all of the five, or any kind of virtue and generosity and kindness you do. Look at that kindness. Look at how it has shaped people around you, and allow that to give you a sense of inspiration, a sense of goodness arising in you. And then, if you can do that, if that works for you, then when the mind becomes brighter, which hopefully it will do if you do this kind of recollection, then sit down, try to do that metta meditation. Try to watch the breath and see if you can get some results a little bit faster in your practice. It's all about not to waste too much time, because time is precious in this world. If you only have 20 minutes of meditation or half an hour meditation per day, it's important to use the time as skillfully as possible so that you get those results that you want. You get a sense of peace. And when you go about your daily life, you actually become better at it. You interact with people in a better way, in a more beautiful way. So see if this sort of contemplation works for you, and see if you can actually use it in a good way, then take it from there. Okay, let's do some meditation. Does anybody have any questions or comments or anything here? Okay, let's pay our respects to the Triple Gem here. Was there one over there? Okay, yes, please, sir. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, it's just very simply the idea of the impact you have on people around you by being a good person, basically. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think the important point is actually to directly think about the benefit that you have for other people by being virtuous, because that is what actually the point of virtue is. Part of the point of virtue is making you feel happy. But also the reason why it makes you feel happy is because it has a positive effect on the world around you. So when you see that positive effect that virtue has on the world around you, then that is a kind of, it's an uplift for you. It's something that makes you feel good about yourself. You see that other people feel a sense of trust. They feel a sense of goodness when they are, around people who are virtuous and good. So reflect on the effect that the virtue has on people around you, basically. That is the main point there. Yeah. Okay. Okay.